How to get to Sesame Street. How to get to Sesame Street. You know, there's three of them. How to get to Sesame Street. All right. You know what? The name of our service is Expectation Lane. There's a reason for that. When I was a kid, I had a great expectation of Sesame Street. How many of you knew exactly when Sesame Street was on, even before you learned to tell time? Yeah. I knew when Sesame Street was on, even before I learned to tell time. Go on to the next one. And that's because I had an expectation. There were things about Sesame Street that I wanted to be able to see. You know, there was things like, who's that green guy? Kermit the Frog. There was things like Kermit. I had an expectation that I was going to see Kermit the Frog. I had an expectation of maybe that blue furry thing that likes cookies. Cookie Monster. Oh, cookie. My favorite, however, and you could tell that if you ever wanted to see my bedroom, was Oscar. Somebody got it. Oscar the Grouch. You know what? I expected certain things from that TV show. And that TV show delivered those things every single time I watched it growing up. I expected it. That's why I knew when it was. Without having to be able to tell time, I knew when it was. That one and Mr. Rogers. I knew when those things were on because I had an expectation that something was going to happen, that I was going to enjoy. There was going to be something in that TV show that I was going to enjoy. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us this. Look at this scripture. Psalm 122:1. I was happy when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was happy. Another version says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that's because we have an expectation that something is going to happen when we go to the house of the Lord. We have an expectation. That's why we have called this service, the Children's Church service, Expectation Lane. Certain things we expect are going to happen when we come into the house of the Lord. Look at this scripture. This scripture in Psalms. And this is paraphrased, but Psalms 22:3 says this, for the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And in the Bible it says the praises of Israel. But the New Testament church is God's people as much as Israel was. So we can paraphrase this to say the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So one of the things that we expect when we come to church is we expect God to show up. We come here because something's going to happen. We expect that God will show up. Where two or three are gathered together, the Lord is here. And we expect that when we sing, and when we praise, and when we lift our hands, that he will accept that. Now, in the children's ministry, I say it this way. We expect that when we sing, Jesus smiles. I heard one. When we sing and praise, Jesus smiles. It makes him happy. Just like watching Sesame Street used to make us happy. We expected something that was going to be good and positive. Now, this next verse says in 1 Thessalonians, pray continually. Give thanks whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. So we expect when we come to church, not only do we expect that God will show up, and not only do we expect that he will hear our prayer, that he will accept our praise and worship, but we expect that he hears our prayers. But it's not enough for him to hear our prayers. We have to also expect that he will answer our prayers, because what does it matter if he hears them if he ain't going to answer them? And why even say them? We expect not only that he hears us, but we expect that he will answer our prayers. And we expect that he will answer them by what is the absolute best for us. Sometimes we pray and we want a certain thing, and we're praying for a certain thing, but we don't pray that we don't get that certain thing. We get what God wants us to have because it's the best for us. When I was going to college, I was 17 years old, on my way to college. I was trying to figure out a way. I wanted a car to go to college in, and I had my idea for what I wanted. This was 1979 or 80. And so being a typical teenage boy, I wanted a Datsun, that will date me, 280Z. Yeah, okay, that dates me, but it dated you too because you knew what I was talking about. All right, so that's what I wanted. And I prayed for a car, and I would pray for a car, and I grew up in a pastor's home, so I knew enough not to pray for, you know, Lord, I want a Datsun 280Z because my dad was a preacher, and there was no way on earth that was happening. But I was praying for a car, but in the back of my mind, I wanted a Datsun 280Z. Well, my dad happened to have a 1967 Volkswagen bus. And I wanted to take that car to college real bad. And how many of you would let your 17-year-old boy take a van to college? Bad idea, and my dad knew better than that. I was a good boy, but he wasn't going to attempt that. I prayed, and I was working, and I was saving money. And we went home to Chattanooga. We were living in Florida. We went up to Chattanooga for Thanksgiving to visit my grandparents. Both of my sets of my family live in Chattanooga. And we go up to my grandfather's house, my dad's side, and he has his old family car, the 1967 Dodge Polara. Now, the Dodge Polara would almost fit in this room. I can lay down from one in the back seat straight, stretched, not feet up on the wall or windows, not head on the windows, completely out. I can lay down in the back of the car. I'm 6'3". I was then when I went to college, too. I hadn't grown any since college. So that's a huge car. My grandfather had it for sale. He had just bought himself a Chevrolet Citation or something, I don't know. And he had this car for sale. He had $350 is what he wanted for it. And I looked at him, and I knew that in my bank account in Florida, this was before ATM cards, so I couldn't just go get the money. But I knew that in my bank account down in Florida, I had not quite $350, but by the time Christmas came, I would have had $350 because I was working every week. I was doing the McDonald's thing for a while, flipping hamburgers. And I went to a Christian school, and on Friday night, I would take the school and turn it into a church. And on Monday morning, I'd take the church and turn it back into a school, and I got paid a little bit for that. So I had some money. I went to my grandfather. I said, listen, anybody buying that car? He said, I have somebody coming today. And I said, Grandpa, if you will not sell it, I will write you a check at Christmas and send it to you. I want this car. At Christmas, my grandfather drove it down with a bow on it and gave it to me for Christmas. God answers our prayers. He hears when we pray. He knows what we want, but better than that, he knows what we need. Now, I did not need a van or a sports car. The Polara was big enough for anything I would happen to have to haul, like I could have for a van, and it had a police interceptor engine, so I could outrun anything if I really, 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 really wanted to and my mom wasn't watching. Okay, so it had everything I might have wanted. It just wasn't in the package that I would have looked for. But Jesus hears our prayers. We expect that he will answer our prayers, and we can expect that he will answer our prayers what's best for us. Right. Next scripture. What else do we expect when we come to church? We expect Hebrews 5:6. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is real, and that he rewards those who truly want to find him. Now, these scriptures sound just a little strange. I use the new NCV version. I can't think what the C stands for immediately. But I use that version because it's a very, very plain version, and kids can understand it very easily. So it's a little different than what you might be used to. But this verse tells us, anyone who comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who truly want to find him. So what do we expect when we come to church? We expect Jesus wants us to ask forgiveness from him. You know, sometimes we think about that we need to ask Jesus to forgive us. It's more than we need to ask Jesus. Jesus wants us to ask. He's sitting up there going, hey, you messed up. Come on. Come here. Here I am. You messed up. Come to me. He wants us to ask forgiveness. So we expect that he wants us to ask forgiveness, and then we have to expect that he will actually say yes when we ask. I've been too bad. Jesus can't forgive that. Jesus forgave the guy who put the nails in his hand. He can forgive anything. He will forgive anything. He wants to forgive anything. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter what your sin of choice is. Sin is the same thing. Sin is just doing what you know you're not supposed to do, whether it's a little bitty one or a great big one, because there is no little bitty or great big to God. He will, we expect that He will forgive us when we ask. So when we come to church, we expect that He will, that He is here. We expect that He hears our praise and worship, and He smiles when we sing. We expect that He pray, that when we pray, He listens, and He wants to listen, He wants to hear us, and that when we ask Him to forgive us, we expect that He does, that He wants to, and that He will. This next verse, in John 16:33, I told you these things so that you can have peace in me. In this world, you will have trouble, but be brave. I have defeated the world. In this world, you might possibly every once in a while have a little bitty thing stubbing your toe that doesn't go right. No, in this world, you will have trouble, but be brave. I've already defeated it. I've already broke it down. It's already done. You just haven't seen it yet. That's what God is telling us. And we can expect then, this verse tells us when we come to church, we expect that we can live our entire lives for Him if we continue to let Him help us. You know that there are the statistics are something like 85% of people who come to Christ at this age. Now, some people come to Christ at this age, fall away for 10 years, and come back. But that doesn't have to be. You can get saved at 7 and stay that way. We expect that we can live our entire lives for Jesus if we continue to let Him help us, to trust Him to help us. The Bible and culture is littered with stories of people who came to Christ at a young age and did amazing things for God because they lived their entire life for God. You've heard the story of Corrie ten Boom. She accepted Jesus at 5. We can do amazing things. God will be with us. We expect that He will help us do the right things that He wants us to do. That's not always easy for us kids to do the right things that we know God wants us to do. I'm not talking about them kids, I'm talking about us kids. It's not easy, but He will help us. And we can expect that He will. We expect that He will help us to not do the wrong things. You know, there's two parts of that. There's two parts of that thought. We expect that He will help us do good things, but we can expect that He will help us not do wrong things. Well, I just can't get past this. Yeah, you can. Take a step. Now you're past it. Go on. Jesus will help us, and we expect that He will when we come to church. That's why we call our service Expectation Lane. We expect that when we pray, He will answer, and that when we have a care, He cares for us, and that He will help us to live our entire life for Him. All right, going on, our next scripture, Acts 26:16. Stand up. I have chosen you to be my servant and my witness. You will tell people the things that you have seen and the things that I will show you. This is why I have come to you today. So we can expect that Jesus wants us to bring our family and our friends to Him. Stand up. Be a witness. Tell people the things that Jesus has done for us. We expect to bring our friends and family to church. Now, in children's church, when we have an altar call, and we close every service with one, I will hear today as well, for salvation, lots of kids will raise their hand for salvation every week. You know what? More power to them. Raise it 5 times a week. I don't care. As long as you're getting it, keep doing it. That's fine with me. We have an altar call for salvation every week. Down at, up at the children's church, we call it saying yes to Jesus. We call it that because becoming a Christian might not mean anything to a 6-year-old, doesn't know what the word means yet. Saying, getting saved to somebody who spent the summer in the pool might mean a lifeguard taking you out of the water because you went under. So they don't always have the thought. So I just say it's saying yes to Jesus. That's what salvation is, saying yes to Jesus. And we expect that Jesus wants us to bring our friends, bring our family to Him so they can say yes to Jesus. That's what we expect. Those are some of the things that we expect when we come to church. All right? 1 Corinthians, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God is the one who made it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose, and each will be rewarded for his own work. So we have something else we can expect. Not only do we expect to bring our friends and family to church so they can say yes to Jesus, but we can expect that when we do our part, God rewards our work. If you've been here the last couple weeks on Sunday or on Wednesday, you're beginning to see this and you're beginning to hear this. If we do our part, God says, one of you plants the seed, one of you waters it, I make it grow. We do our part. We do the planting. We do the watering. God does his part. He rewards our work and the seed grows, the plant grows. And we're starting a program here in church that you've heard about over the last, two Sundays and now and a couple Wednesday nights. But the Grow Evangelism Program, God rewards our work. It's more than just knocking on doors and visiting people in their homes. Some people love to write letters. I'm married to one of them. She doesn't do Facebook. Why? She doesn't want one message to go out to 800 people. She wants 800 messages to go out to 800 people. She wants to personalize everything. She wants to put her heart in it. So she doesn't do Facebook, because it doesn't speak to her at all. She writes letters and cards and mail and stamps. And single-handedly, if the post office stays in business, it will be because of her. Some people love to do that. Some people like to be on the phone. I just despise that instrument. I don't like it at all. Some people love to call people. And in today's technology, calling is only about, what, one-tenth of what you can do with a phone? Some people like to text, and some people like to do this and to do that and send their email by the phone or send their email by computer. And we got Facebook and we got Twitter. We got all kinds of ways to keep up with people. God rewards our work. We visit somebody in their home, or we send them a card, or we make a phone call, or we send them a text, or we send them a Facebook, or whatever you call sending them a Facebook. I don't know what it's called. But whatever you call sending a Facebook, if that's what you do, God rewards that. He wants us to get involved in evangelism in whatever way he suited you to do it. Some of us are suited to go out door to door, knock on doors, and say, repent ye. Some of us are not suited for that. Some of us are suited to write letters and say, you know what? I know you're hurting. Oh, I saw you in church Sunday, and your smile just made me so happy to be here. I hope to see you back. We all have different ways of doing things. And God wants us to get involved. And the Bible tells us somebody plants a seed, somebody waters a seed, and God makes the seed grow. And so that's why we're starting this particular program. On Tuesday nights, the first Tuesday night of each month is going to be the Prospect Kids Grow. So if you want to come on that Tuesday night, we're going to specifically deal with families that have children that have come, and we're going to let our kids, your kids, write the letters to send to their kids. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that would impact me if my kid got a letter from a kid at a church that said they like to have them in church Sunday. That might make an interest to me. Hey, you know what? Maybe they like us. Maybe they want us to come back. Maybe they're interested in us. Our community needs to know that we care. And we can care by knocking on doors, we can care by making phone calls, we can care by writing letters, we can care by lots of different ways. The first Tuesday of each month is going to be when we focus specifically on the kids that have come, the families with children that come. It's not going to be the only thing we do, but it's focusing on them. So obviously you want to get involved and grow in whatever area suits you, but the first Tuesday night of the month, if you have kids and you want to be involved, we'll have something for your kids to do. And it'll be a great thing to do. But we call our church service, our children's church service, we call it Expectation Lane. And we call it Expectation Lane because we expect certain things to happen. We expect God is with us when we come to church. We expect that he wants us to pray and he will listen to us pray. That he smiles when we sing and praise and worship him. And that he will help us to give our life to him and then keep it there the whole length of our life, so that we can do amazing things for God, because he wants us to do that. He wants us to do amazing things for him, and he will give us what we need to do those things, and we expect that he will do that. And that's why we call our church service, the children's church service, Expectation Lane. At the end of every service, I always want to make available a chance. Somebody in here, whether it be a child or a teenager or an adult, doesn't matter. Somebody in here, you might need to check your relationship with Jesus. Go ahead. And just like a little cartoon character, they're saying, I've said yes to Jesus. Some of you may have said yes to Jesus as a child, but you haven't been walking with him for a while. Or maybe you really haven't said yes to Jesus and you want to make that personal commitment to him. So I want you to do is close your eyes, bow your head so nobody's looking around. This is a private situation. This is a private moment. It could be between you and God. If you're here and you want Jesus to be your friend, and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to have that relationship with him. I'll use a couple big church words. You want to be saved. You want to become a Christian. You haven't done that, or you did it a long time ago, and your relationship is nowhere near what you want it to be, and you know it. It's not what you want it. It's not what God wants it, and you know. And you want to do something about that today. You want to make a change in your relationship with God, whether it's a brand new relationship or whether it's just kind of fixing up an old one. Just raise your hand, slip it up real quick, put it back down. Don't worry about hanging up forever. Okay? You put your hands back down. Appreciate that. Now we're going to say a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer out loud. And I want everybody to follow that prayer with me. Everybody to say the prayer out loud with me. And if you raise your hand, you say this prayer or you say some version of it in your heart, that's perfectly fine. But say this prayer out loud and you really mean it. The Lord's going to do the work he wants to do because we've already learned from the Bible. We expect that he wants to forgive us. He wants us to ask. He wants us to have that relationship. So if we ask him, he's going to do it, and we know he will. So say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Lord, I do not always do everything I should. And you know that. Please forgive me. Please help me. Please keep me in your hands. Let me have that relationship that you want me to have. And help me to have that relationship throughout my entire life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that and you meant it, give yourself a hand. I say give yourself a hand because up in heaven right now they're having a party, so we might as well enjoy it too. So we might as well be part of the party. That's what God wants. That's what we can expect that God wants when we come to church. Now, every so often in our services, we will do something called an expectation experience. It's basically an activity. Now, when I taught school, I taught middle school. So me and activities are not best of friends. And so if you are a really good activity person, you want to help me on Sundays, please. I